If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix Is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix Is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. Have you ever gotten ice cream from the supermarket and you scoop it out, but it just doesn't have that ice cream parlor taste? Well, guess what? Did you know you can find real, unbelievably creamy ice cream at the grocery store? Yeah, that's right. Tillamook ice cream is made with more cream, so you get smooth, dreamy scoops each time. I'm not going to lie, the flavors are delicious and in family-sized cartons. I love their vanilla bean. Vanilla bean, to me, is the way that you judge anyone's ice cream, and their rich vanilla ice cream made with real crushed vanilla bean seeds is delicious. Or their Oregon strawberry. Oh, I love it. Sweet strawberry ice cream with ripe Oregon strawberry pieces. So, so good. Plus, you got to check out their Mudslide flavor. It's smooth chocolate ice cream with a ribbon of rich fudge and chocolatey chips. Oh, it's so good. I got to go get some ice cream right now. Plus, you know you're in good hands with Tillamook brand. They make over 200 different dairy products, and the brand is farmer-owned and led by dairy experts. Boy, oh boy. I love them all, and you're going to love them too. Whether it's birthday cake, peaches and cream, mint chocolate chip, banana split, or cookies and cream, there is a flavor for you. Find Tillamook ice cream near you at Tillamook.com. That's T-I-L-L-A-M-O-O-K.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium-flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. How would Jason and I wine and dine you in LA? The true facts about goals. And what is the connection to Neil and Lou? It might just be Phillips. All this and more on a brand new Last Looks. Hit the theme.
It's the Last Looks at Last Episode movie. At last we can talk about all the mistakes we made and the omissions we left out accidentally. And Pope can solve your problems off his headline and then he can talk to Jason Manzik because they're about on TV. Last Looks, it's Last Looks. Last Looks, it's Last Looks.
Hello, people of Earth and Neil Diamond Completus. I'm your host, Paul Livingston Siegel, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Last Looks, where you get to voice your issues on, you guessed it, Jonathan Livingston Siegel. And I know you got a lot of issues. Plus, Jason and I will just chat about reality TV and our favorite LA activities. Plus, I'm going to reveal next week's movie. And before we do any of that, let me just give a big shout out, a huge shout out to Mark Granger for that opening theme. Mark, I loved it. It's great. I love all these Last Look songs. They're great. So much so that I thought that this group would be up to the challenge to create a brand new How Did This Get Made theme. It's not something that can just be done. It's got to be special. It's got to be unique. It's got to blow our fucking socks off. I guess knock would be the term, but these will be blown off. And you know what? We've gotten a few submissions. They're good. But I don't know if they've got the goods. Jason and I will evaluate some of these songs on an upcoming Last Looks episode, kind of steer our composers into a direction, see how we're feeling about them. But anyway, I don't want that to dissuade you. I don't want that pressure to be on you. I want you to create a song that you think is perfect for the show. And you can send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. You can also send in songs for this show, a Just Chat segment, or just the opening theme of Last Looks, just like Mark Granger did. Send them to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. And remember, they don't have to be long. As a matter of fact, I prefer if they weren't. People, How Did This Get Made is going on tour. That's right. In just a few weeks, we will be in Portland, Providence, New Haven, Connecticut, and Brooklyn, New York. That's right, from October 18th to the 21st, we're going to be in Portland, Rhode Island, New Haven, and Brooklyn. And then we're going to take a couple weeks off, and then we're going to come back and go to Chicago and Minneapolis, and that will be on November 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. That's right, we're doing two-night residencies. Can you consider it a residency if it's only two nights? We're doing two-night residencies in Chicago and Minneapolis. We're keeping it primarily on the Eastern Seaboard, but we would love to see you. Follow us from Maine all the way down to Brooklyn. Tickets are selling fast, and that is exciting to me. Anyway, you want more information? You want to know where you can get those tickets? Go to hdtgm.com. As I speak, Avril is working hard to pick some amazing movies for all of these shows, and we will announce those movies on our website and social media as soon as those picks are locked in. But don't worry about that. Avril's got that. You get the ticket. We'll see you at the show. I want you with a costume on. I want you coming with a second opinion. I want you with a notebook full of questions about whatever movie we're picking, because you, the audience, are a giant part of the show, and every show is completely different. Anyway, before we dive into corrections and omissions, I want to give some love to these second opinion singers, because like I just mentioned, I want you to come with a second opinion song, right? And I'm consistently blown away by the level, the quality of the songs that we get at these live shows. And at the Jonathan Livingston Siegel Show, we were blown away by these songs. And we felt like we had to share a few more of our favorite songs with you. So take a listen to these bangers from the Beacon Theater, and we'll be right back with corrections and omissions.
Now it's time for second opinions.
I have often streamed tons of airborne flicks, Con Air and Sky Captain, not to mention Birdemic. Then I met this gull, Johnny Livingston, and like Top Gun's Maverick, he just felt the need for speed. Y'all, this film was lit. That's my second opinion. You can talk your shit. Somehow I'll fly on. I have found my flock. They're right here at the Beacon. And I'll go on Amazon and rate this film 5 stars.
Wow. Name?
David Hensiegel.
Thank you.
Amazing. Incredible.
Wow.
Everyone has been incredible.
Come on down.
Here we go.
I feel like I didn't pick this many people, but here we go.
Oh, these motherfuckers are just lining up. They're like, me next.
All right, now it's time for second opinion.
I'm sailing away. Fuck this flock and the elders anyway. 200 miles per hour. Man, I'm pretty cool, son of gull power. Okay, I'm a weirdo, flying on my own. Jacob's ladder, heaven or hell. Maybe me on marine bone. Well, they said, outcast am I. Unclear if I died. Gathering my cult of birds in Garbage Beach City. Probably lots of seagulls died to make a shitty allegory. I said, come sail away, come sail away, come sail away with me. Neil Diamond charts for brains. Pretty sure Fletcher's a zombie.
Yes! Amazing crowd work.
Incredible! What's your name?
My name is Bianca Siegel.
Yeah! Bianca Siegel!
Next one up!
Fantastic! Wow, these are all Stone Cold bangers.
Here we go. And now it's time for second opinions.
Watch how fast this eagle flies. I'm a freak. I will be ostracized. Your bird is now an outcast in his clan. You'll be forced to watch me fly to distant lands. Oh, I'm just a gull. I'm just a gull. You're forced to watch me for the next 90 minutes of your life. Oh, I'm just a gull. Did you like this movie? Well, fuck you, it had no animal rights. Oh, I wanna fuck Maureen. Oh, I wanna fuck Maureen.
Amazing, your name?
Neil.
Thank you, Neil.
Great job, Neil.
Taking us home. Taking us into
the... Every one of these has been better than the show.
Amazing. And you didn't want us to do this movie.
And you guys are all online being like, I hate second opinion songs.
I wish you would do the Jersey Show.
Why do they do second opinion songs?
I would have gone to Boston if I knew.
And now it's time for second opinions.
Tell me something, bird. Did you know this movie was absurd? Or did you love it when Jonathan kept whispering? I log on to Amazon. Second opinion, Jonathan Livingston. I'm gonna rate it 5 stars. Crash through the surface with Seagull Jesus. He's faster than the speed of sound. In the outcast, in the outcast, we're part of the outcast now.
Fantastic!
Wow.
Great. Wow. What's your name?
Matthew John Siegel.
Oh, wow. MJS, everybody.
Wow.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I am in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough, but Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about. You choose your tone and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning. And when I launched my book, I said I am doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better. And that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these. Welcome back. Last week, we talked at length about Jonathan Livingston Seagull, a movie that Discord user Grayest Hound thinks could have had the tagline, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, put it on for your cat when they're home alone. You know what? Honestly, I think a cat might be bored by this movie. Anyway, we had questions about this movie, and we talked about it for a very long time, but we realized that we might have missed a few things. So here is your chance to either set us straight, ask about something that we didn't even consider, or even fact check us if you must. It is now time for corrections and omissions.
Corrections and omissions.
Thank you, Bionic Limbs, for that great theme song. Let's go to the Discord. BML, a purported bird expert who attended the live show, writes in with some Seagull insights. Though the gull filmed in the snow scene was unnaturally placed there, gulls in general are not deterred by snow or cold weather, with some living in the Arctic and Antarctic climates. We think of birds as flying south for the winter because of the cold, but in reality, most birds are extremely cold tolerant and actually migrate because of the seasonal changes in food supply. So to be clear, yes, that gull on the snowy mountain definitely died, but from starvation, not from hypothermia. By the way, that should be the ASPCA warning at the end of this film. Also, BML continues with a few other Seagull inaccuracies. There is footage of distant gulls doing loop-de-loops and barrel rolls. However, gulls do not naturally perform these maneuvers. This must have been shot using radio-controlled models, presumably built by Art Scholl, credited in the film for aerobatic aircraft. And in addition, gulls do not dive below the water surface like gannets or boobies. That sequence appeared to use a model for the aerial dive as well, and very upsettingly cut to a gull forced underwater. Yeah, this movie was tough to watch, BML, but I appreciate that you brought some Seagull truth to us. Anna Beringston Seagull, Esquire, writes, why is there so little human presence in this movie? We see a landfill, which indicates that humans are around and impacting their world. I'm surprised that human activity doesn't factor in at all to the Seagull's lifestyle or philosophy. But then again, I don't factor Seagulls into mine. Maybe I should. Anna Beringston Seagull, I gotta love that. I gotta love that you checked yourself. Jane Seagull writes, I love this, by the way. Author Richard Bach, not this question, which I might love. I just love that everyone has Seagullized their name. Author Richard Bach couldn't have been too unhappy with the portrayal of Seagulls in the film adaptation because he married the gull wrangler extraordinaire Leslie Parrish after meeting during the making of the film. Now here's a note from Scott. Scott comes in and goes, well, Leslie Parrish is the film's associate producer that director Hal Bartlett inexplicably demoted to researcher in the final credits. Richard and Leslie married in 1981, but divorced in 1999. So maybe, honestly, he did it just to prank her. I think that that's what Scott's trying to prove. I mean, 81 to 99, not a bad run. Not a bad run at all. Let's go to the phones. Colin Seagull, what do you got?
Hey, Paul, this is Colin from Chicago, and I just finished listening to the Jonathan Livingston Seagull episode, and I thought I'd give you some more information on the film that I got here from the book The 50 Worst Films of All Time and How They Got That Way. It's a book published in 1978, so it's a little out of date, but it does have an entire chapter devoted to Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And one thing it says here, it says, intending to cash in on the anticipated Seagull bandwagon, several manufacturers created new products relating to the film. These articles all bore the name and official insignia of the famed Seagull. The equipment included leisure footwear, bed sheets, autographed pillows, blankets, ready-made draperies, tablecloths, t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, iron-on patches, handcrafted copper enamel pins, handcrafted yarn, punch needle rug kits, stuffed toys, greeting cards, plaques, posters, keychains, puzzles, and a game devised by Mattel. I don't know how to play that game. Anyway, thanks for everything. Love the show. Bye.
What? Are you telling me that I can find a Jonathan Livingston Seagull game on eBay? People, I need... All right, I'm on eBay. I'm going to be on eBay right now. And autograph pillows. Or pillows. By who? Who's a... Who? Richard Bach? A seagull? I mean, I once went to a Star Trek convention and the dog from Voyager did sign autographs. They put his paw in ink. I don't know if that was, again, a humane thing to do, but wow. Colin, I need pics. I need pics. All right. What do we got? We got Jackie Siegel. This is endlessly entertaining to me.
Hi, this is Jackie from Boston, and I think I like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And I like it because I saw it as a religious allegory and like a hero's journey, not of Jesus Christ, but of Siddhartha Gautama, who was the first Buddha. Now, both of them were trying to escape the suffering of their respective worlds, and Siddhartha through achieving enlightenment, and Jonathan through achieving perfect speed. But during this, Jonathan finds that constantly trying to go faster is only bringing him more suffering and pain, and only brings more suffering into the world. And both of them have to leave their societies as a consequence of this, so Siddhartha has to leave, or chooses to leave voluntarily, and Jonathan is kicked out of, his seagull kingdom. Both of them go into the wilderness, and through that they experience various forms of violence and peace in the world. And Jonathan ultimately achieves his enlightenment through his supernatural experiences with Chang, who says, perfect speed is not going faster, but already being there, essentially telling him that constantly trying to go faster is actually preventing him from attaining enlightenment. And when Jonathan understands this, he achieves enlightenment and can fly with perfect speed. However, that's not the end of his hero's journey. Like Siddhartha, having achieved enlightenment, Jonathan understands that his role is not to stay in seagull nirvana, like the other seagulls who can fly with perfect speed, but rather to return to Earth so that he can teach other seagulls how to achieve perfect speed as well. Jonathan Livingston Seagull is Bird Buddha. Enlightenment is perfect speed.
Yes, you are completely correct. Jonathan is Buddha, and his enlightenment is perfect speed. I think you are right. I think that that's why we were having trouble kind of wrestling with the theme. It is about a state of mind, a Zen state of mind. Well, you said it. I'm not going to correct you. You're right. Jackie, you're right. What do I have to say? Add to it? I don't need to mansplain it. All right. Next up, we have Morgan Siegel, the book expert from the episode. She was fantastic. So, Morgan, what else do you got to tell us?
Hey, Paul. This is Morgan from the New York Jonathan Livingston Siegel Show. And I just had a point of clarification on a question that I had gotten from you all about the movie versus the book. So you had asked if the seagulls had gone to outer space. In the movie, then I said no. And the issue is, in the movie, you see them flying through outer space. That definitely did not happen in the book. In the book, what happens is Jonathan and his mentor just appear on what allegedly maybe another planet with multiple suns. So there's no travel through space per se. They just arrived. That is all. Thank you.
Whoa. Thank you for calling again. Another person checking themselves, not going out there. You did your best. We appreciated you out there. And I love that you called in to say, you know what? I got it wrong. And that honestly is all that we're responsible for. We make a mistake, we come back in, we tell the truth, and you know what? You're A-OK. You already were A-OK. Now you're A-OK plus. Back to the Discord. Hobo Bot writes, I might have missed it, but did anyone guess as to why Jonathan is so intent on 62 miles per hour specifically. I think the writers converted units for an American audience, since 100 kilometers per hour equals 62 miles per hour, and 100 is a nice round number, which brings up a lot more questions, like why was Jonathan originally using the metric system? Why didn't they just say 100 miles per hour? Why were kilometers involved at all, since the writer is American? You know what, Hobobot, I think I do have an answer for this, because the pilot was an aviator, and I believe that kilometers is how you would calculate speed as a aviator. Again, it's a good guess. I'm not sure. I'm not one of those people who have a jet, private airplane flying around. I leave that to the pilots. I don't need to be that as a hobby. I don't like anyone who has a hobby of flying a plane. Okay. Grumblebottom writes, oh, Grumblebottom, you broke the seagull thing. Okay. Grumblebottom writes, flight speed, no damn gull is going 60 miles per hour. Gear falcons can hit 60 miles per hour on a straight flight. Peregrine falcons, the fastest animal on the planet, can hit 240 miles per hour during a powered dive, but only go about 50 during a straight flight. Gulls, even the bigger, faster ones like herring gulls, go maybe around 20 miles per hour. They are nimble flyers, but they are not fast. Boom, Grumblebottom, hitting it hard. No one researched birds. It was an allegory. Johnny Unusual writes, so Chang is like a low-key Orientalist archetype stereotype, right? I mean, all the other birds have Western names except for the Wizened Master character, who is a bird. He doesn't have a grotesque accent, thank God, but I feel like calling him Chang in the 70s is playing on the idea that people of other cultures like Asian are somehow more spiritually in tune. I mean, Johnny Unusual, yeah. I mean, we see that all the time. I think it was a very, like, I think if we're going to this idea of like Zen and Buddhism, and I think that of course it was. Of course. BML, of course, chimes in with one more thing here. He says, it's funny that hummingbirds are the only type of bird that June likes. Given her disdain for the squabbling and fighting of gulls, she might be dismayed to learn that hummingbirds are among the most aggressive cutthroat creatures in the animal kingdom. The males use their bills to stab other males and to fence. They parry like they're sword fighters, sometimes knocking birds off a perch. Some hummingbirds even have hooked beaks with serrations that look like shark's teeth that can be used to tear out other birds' feathers. Whoa, BML kind of coming hard at the hummingbirds. I also want to add, like gulls, pigeons often get a bad rap as well. And like gulls, they are in fact highly skilled flyers whose ubiquitous presence is a testament to their evolutionary success. So, as bird expert Dr. Alan Grant says in Jurassic Park, try to show a little respect. And you know what? I'm going to show you some respect here, BML, for bringing the heat with your bird facts. You are our winner this week for corrections and omissions, and you get this amazing song from Joel Terry. Hit it!
You win, everybody else all loses. You don't get a medal to prove it, but you don't need no accolades. You can sit back and say, I win tonight on Paul's mini episode. I win tonight on Paul's teeny tiny little mini episode.
Thank you, Joel Terry, for that song. Remember, if you want to submit an alt movie tagline or chime in with your own thoughts about the latest episode, hit up the Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm or call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. Stick around. Jason Manzoukas will join me after the break to chat about reality TV, our favorite LA activities, and music that we are currently loving. I'll be right back. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. You know, there are things that we need to get off our chest. Maybe someone in your life, a loved one, is driving you crazy, but they don't mean to be driving you crazy. And you want to vent and you want to get it out, but you just don't want to drop it on them because you're not really mad at them. Maybe you're mad at yourself. Because we all have these things that set off our stressors, right? We keep them bottled up and they start to affect us. And we start to then affect other people because our energy is off. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a questionnaire, you get matched, and then guess what? If you don't like your therapist, you can switch to another licensed therapist at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bonkers. When you travel, do concerns back home nag at you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? Well, if they do, that's why you should invest in Simply Safe Home Security today. That's right. For award-winning security and peace of mind wherever you go, Simply Safe wants to be there with you by actually not going there at all, but staying at your house. Listen, Newsweek ranked it the best customer service in home security. Plus, it gives you whole home protection, sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Plus, a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, no contracts, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. I'm going to tell you this. It's worth it for the peace of mind to know that when I'm on tour, when I'm out there in the UK, I can check in on my house. And with the time difference between LA and Europe, I loved having the 24/7 professional monitoring service in case something happened when I was asleep or not reachable. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/bonkers. That's simplysafe.com/bonkers. There's no safe like Simply Safe. I was traveling with my kids. We stopped to get breakfast at Shake Shack, and my kids said, "Mom said we can have milkshakes." And I was so tired. It didn't make sense to me, but I was like, if June says the kids can have milkshakes, I'll get them milkshakes. I got them milkshakes. June's like, "I never said that." And you know what? I felt ripped off. I felt ripped off by my own kids. And that's the feeling I never like to have. I never like to get ripped off by anyone. And that's why Harry's started their company of Harry's Razors, because they saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, and they decided to do something better. That's right. They decided to do a razor that had a great price, high customer satisfaction, that had a no-risk trial, and they have other self-care products that meet the same quality standards as their razors, okay? I love the body wash, and they have deodorant that smells damn good. I gotta tell you, I love these razors. They are perfect, and now I am a paying subscriber. That's right. So do not settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3. That's right. Go to harrys.com/bonkers. That's harrys.com/bonkers for a $3 trial set. Welcome back. You know, every Monday is a chance to look back at episodes from How Did This Get Made's history. This week, we re-released After Earth with Paul F. Tompkins. And now, to tip our hat to the Seagulls, we are re-releasing Birdemic. That's right. Weird Al Yankovic, Whitney Moore, they join us. It's one of our early, if not one of our first, Largo episodes. Every Monday, a brand new old episode. Can that be possible? Is it an oxymoron? Maybe it is. Anyway, don't worry about that, because now it is time for Jason and I to open up the helpline and answer some listener questions. This week's theme comes to us from Lazy Bones. Play us in.
Hey, Paul! Can you need some advice for a good life? Hey, Paul! Need some wise words from a podcast? Well, good night! Get sexual on the nine! Paul, I ask, get sexual on the nine! Paul, I ask, Paul, just
all right, Jason, we are back. I wanted to let you know that you asked for it and we made it, which is right now in the Tee Public store, there is a Parents Night Out shirt. A How Did This Get Made Parents Night Out shirt. So people who come to see How Did This Get Made Live.
So does it say Parents Night Out at How Did This Get Made Live?
Or? It does not say at How Did This Get Made. And I think that was because we were not on it, but the design was so good that we just like the Parents' Night Out element. We could probably
throw in at How Did This Get, even if it's a little tight.
Yeah,
just
a little
so
one on the bottom. We can
just
do
so that. It's so that, you know, it's for we all the parents little, yeah. who are getting a sitter to come see us. But it's also Parents' Night Out.
It's a good looking shirt. All right, we'll get
for
that
good looking parents.
We love those.
So
parents.
If you're an uggo parent out there,
don't wear
the shirt.
Don't wear it. Hey, don't wear it. All right, let's go to the phones. Scott, what do we got?
Hey, Paul and Jason. This is Jacob from New York. I've been listening for quite a few years, and recently I've heard y'all mention Survivor on the podcast a few times, so I thought I'd finally call in and say hi. I actually competed on a season of Survivor a couple years ago. It went really badly, like really badly, but I'm always happy to answer any questions you might have about the show. Anyways, I actually work in casting and development now for reality shows in particular. So my question for you guys is, if either of you were to host an unscripted series, what kind of show would you want it to be? I know you both love Alone. Maybe you go survival-centric, maybe like a classic pyramid kind of trivia show, or maybe celebrity stuff like Match Game. I'm just curious. And let me know. I'll get started on the pitch right away. Have a good one, y'all.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wait, so Paul, I'm not a Survivor person, but do you recognize this person? Do you know who it is?
I would be very honest and say I don't recognize him, but that's because we haven't watched all the seasons yet. We have just digging in. So we've watched a lot. I have not seen a season, but now I'm excited to maybe move this up to the top.
Wow, a Survivor contestant is a fan of the show. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
All right, so this is a good question. Have you ever had any interest in hosting like a reality show type of thing? I have one idea that they could never make that I've always been behind.
Okay, go. What's that?
I would love to do a Survivor-style show, or Survivor meets American Ninja Warrior, but the premise would be Die Hard. One person with a paintball gun having to get through a building using... there needs to be challenges, but I think hand-to-hand fighting would be part of it. I also believe that paintball guns would be part of it. Like, I think you could do a bunch of different elements of it, and there'd have to be like some puzzles to solve and things like that. But I've always thought that I would love to see how somebody could figure out
I love that. That's a great pitch. I so much so that I hesitate to allow you to put it in the episode. Like, you should keep that. I don't know if you should. It's a great idea. I agree with you. It's a difficult to execute idea.
It's a show that feels to me like lawsuits would be rolling in.
I think what's the thing is, like, the thing about American Ninja Warrior is what you're showcasing is the how adept people are at the challenge and the skills being put in front of them. They need to execute the course, rather, the obstacle course. Versus things like Survivor or these other shows are personality-based. These are really stories of these people. The challenges are there, and they are kind of hiccups and hurdles in the road, but really it is just to force everybody to be more themselves, or to dig whatever all the interpersonal drama is, I feel like, for a lot of those shows.
100%. I think the thing I really found about Survivor that I love is when they do the merge, when the tribes merge, that's when you start to really fall in love with these characters, because it's so many characters. You're getting fun moments and you're making opinions, but when they're all in there and you really get to see how they're working, that's what I like. And that to me is Alone. Like, you really start to see a person's personality.
After Alone, they were doing like these, some guy was like talking to the contestants and doing like wrap ups and what did you think and this and that. And I was like, oh, I'd like to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go out and like host a Survivor type show. I don't want to go out. But there is something about having like the conversation you and I had with Wonia.
Yes.
It was great. You know, I really enjoyed that. Anyway, I can't really think of anything that I have that I would like to do, my own idea or something like that. But I will say this gets to a little bit of something I've been watching, and you can decide and tell me whether we should include this or not. But something I've been watching a bunch of lately, specifically on YouTube, frankly, is, and I would love to do it, is and I'm curious if you, what your opinion is of this show. I think, I feel like maybe you have one, is Taskmaster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I
that's
love
a competition
that.
Reality show, and yes. It's fucking hilarious.
I love it.
Boy, the show is a fucking blast. And there are former friend of the pod, I mean, not former friend of the pod, but friend of the pod, former guest Aisling B's on a season. Nish Kumar's on a season. Like, there's great people. James Acaster, who we've talked about before.
Oh, I love James
and his famous podcast that I believe we called Last Meal, but I believe is called Off Menu. But I'm I'm going to continue to call it Last Meal and ask that James and the rest of the guys on the podcast, please change the name. Please change the name of the podcast and what it's about to better suit what we talked about before.
Yeah, so we don't
episode.
Look like idiots. Don't Mistakenly. Make us look like stupid
make
people.
Make your show what we described. Thank you.
I love, blast. I mean, I love that show and I still get tweets about it, but I love Taskmaster as it's really, I don't know. It's a smart, smart show. And that's the kind of
and
stuff that
funny
I really
show.
Like. Yes. We created a show for Unspooled, which was like a pop culture show that had similar tasks. It was all like, it was basically creating comedy bits. And, you know, I like that, like where it's like, it's more creative than a right or wrong answer or just a task.
Yes,
it's like,
that's what's fun. And it's, and people are encouraged to break the rules and solve the puzzle in ways that are comedically rewarding rather than the right way to do a thing. It is challenges given by comedians to a panel of comedians, and it's almost always absurdly like failure based and hilarious.
And it, to me, what I am excited about, and you just reminded me about this, is I think I need to start showing my son's junior Taskmaster.
Didn't know it existed.
A spinoff, right? Which so it's not
oh, cool.
Kids 9
yeah, yeah, yeah.
to 11
oh, I
are
love that.
On this one.
Oh, that's a great that's a blast.
Yeah. And yeah, so I have to figure that out. I got to figure out how I can get this for my kids because I think
that's
that they would go bananas for it. But yeah, I like that too.
If you want to watch it, if you want to check it out, I would just for strike sake direct you to the YouTube channel.
Great.
That has quite a lot of long clips, individual tasks, and in whole episodes for that matter. So it's all there.
All right.
Or
this is
a
great.
Lot of it.
Yeah. And I feel like I don't understand why the UK has embraced funny panel shows and America seems to always be behind on that.
They've had them forever. Like that's like those are staples of British, you know, nighttime television is chat shows and panel shows. And we just simply don't have it here. We don't have those comedy forward game shows, panel shows, chat shows.
We had them at certain times,
like
with,
in the
at
past,
midnight.
In the,
yeah, or like we did like bad versions of them, you know, and I feel like there is, I don't know, there is like something about.
I have a theory, but you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's something uniquely American about needing to win.
Mm.
And so I feel like the American versions of those shows are actually too focused on the winning. And the British shows are really just focused on goofing around and bullshitting and roasting each other and busting balls and being clever and funny in a way that there is something that is uniquely American about like, well, I want to win. I'm going to contest that point because I want to win. You know what I mean?
Well, that to me feels like, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I think that people believe that like the show doesn't feel complete until someone has won or lost.
Yes. Until there is a clear winner who is the best, you know?
That really is a bummer because to me, it's like, aren't we just laughing at this? This is like this is what we want to see, right? Come on.
The show's really funny. I've been trying to, while we're on strike, while we're not talking about stuff here, you know, we're not talking about this stuff we're involved in or the other stuff that's around. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to like watch stuff that is not even part of those silos.
I love that. I've been trying to do similar stuff and just try to open my mind, see different things. And, you know, by the way, if you like Taskmaster, there's like two podcasts.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like official podcast? Like their podcast?
Yes.
Oh,
Taskmaster, the podcast, and then Taskmaster, the people's podcast.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah, there we go.
I like that.
And so they basically, people can call up and disagree with what they've seen on the show. I love it. But that kind of stuff is, I really enjoy, like...
And before everybody freaks out, we are well aware that there was an American version of Taskmaster.
But that doesn't count.
We're not talking about that. It didn't succeed. So we know. So,
but
go
that's
ahead,
and but that's the whole thing. It's like it didn't succeed because I feel like when things make the switch, they wreck it. Like something about it is wrecked. Like
I
love this. Well, there's another a British show called Imposters, and I've talked about my love of that show, Imposters. And then America did it, and it was a complete. I just felt it was like just not fun.
Oh, okay. I've never even heard of this one. Oh, okay. Got it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Jason, get on Imposters. It's another BBC show. A BBC show that no one thought was going to be good. And it's great.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They
really,
just,
really
they really have a, they have a set of shows that occupy a space that we don't appear to be interested in. Culturally, those type of shows, you know
but
what I mean? We're not,
we love stand up comedy, yet we love podcasts. It has the same elements of all the things that we gravitate towards as a culture, but like when it's positioned as like a talk show, chat show, like they even do a funny news show I was watching when I was in the UK like a couple months ago. It was hilarious. It was great. It was like, oh, it's like they're talking about news, they're making up news, people are goofing on news, and it's like it kind of feels to me like what we did with Best Week Ever, which shockingly somebody just reached out to me to tell me it was the 20th anniversary of the premiere of that show. I was like,
holy shit, isn't that crazy?
I mean, I can't even believe it, but that kind of idea, like, oh, we're just talking about funny, these are funny people talking about stuff. And even with that, the big switch that they made was they eventually switch it to a one-person host, and that and Paul F. Tompkins, one of the funniest, I thought he killed on that show. But I think one of the reasons why the ratings dropped had nothing to do with Paul F. It just had to do with people liked multiple people chatting.
Exactly. And I think that show, I think the format change almost would have been better served by the group all being together to talk about this stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
rather than winnowing it down to a single voice, to instead have these five voices, but instead of having them each individually doing their bits, have them collectively as a group just bullshitting around and the same jokes, the same feeding off of each other. That would, people would enjoy that.
It's so much more fun. It's, it, I mean, that's what we,
that's what Corden was trying to do with his show by basically doing Graham Norton's show.
Yeah.
You know?
And I still think that people respond to it in a weird way. I always remember, I think back to Jimmy Kimmel when he first started doing monologues. I used to love his monologues because they were like, it was like talk soup.
Yes.
It was just very like, oh, here's a funny clip. Here's a thing. Here's a this. You know, it wasn't a traditional mold. And it, he's always very funny. And I feel like, but then you get forced into these patterns. No. Every talk show needs a monologue, and it needs to go.
No,
here.
It's got to look like this, and it has to feel like as if the architecture of the show is what people want, not the tone and personality of the host.
Yeah,
you know,
I know it's such an interesting. It's just interesting, but I'm glad that we have a lot of great British shows to kind of catch
up
on.
Oh yeah.
All right, so. Let's hear one more call. Let's see what we got. One more.
Let's do it.
Hi, Jason and Paul. This is Morgan calling from Brooklyn. So this October, I'll be taking myself on a solo trip to LA to celebrate my birthday. I've been several times before, so I don't feel like I need to jam pack my schedule or hit all the big sites. And I really value getting recommendations from people that live in the cities I'm visiting. I'm really open to anything, but I love live music, comedy, all types of food, record and book shopping. So my question for you both is, if you were to think about your perfect long weekend in L.A., what would be on the agenda? As a side note, last episode you had a question from Kaylin, who was also from Brooklyn and having her post-breakup New England summer. I had a very similar post-breakup New Jersey summer. So, Kaylin, if you are looking for a fellow newly single friend when you get back to Brooklyn, maybe the folks at How Did This Get Me could put us in touch. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. Please. Please, can we make this happen? That is very, like, again, I love our fans.
The best.
What a great message. I hope that Caitlin and Morgan have do link up and have wonderful stories to call in with and tell us.
Meet up on the Discord because that's a safe way to do it.
Oh,
and you can go there. And that is Kaylin. By the way, I know that we're, I just want to jump back for 1 second. You know, we were talking about Taskmaster. Just want everyone to know that Taskmaster has their own streaming service. So you can give them right the money right to them.
Oh.
Their own.
Smart.
They literally have their own. You can get everything. And international versions also on there as well.
Ooh,
so just
that.
A good way to throw money out of not to streamers and give
yeah,
it to them.
If
That's
you're
it.
Looking, maybe it would be a good idea right now to say maybe stop some of your subscriptions to streamers that might not be putting stuff out that you want right now and maybe give it elsewhere.
$5.99 a month. Okay, so question is this. Looking for travel recommendations? Is that what we're hearing?
I think it's L.A. specific travel a long weekend in. If you had a long weekend in L.A. and it wasn't to service tourism type stuff, or you know, what would you want to be doing?
I mean, for me, I'm gonna definitely make sure that I'm hitting a great sushi spot.
Oh yeah, what do you got?
I'm gonna look here. Give me 1 second to find you like a couple.
Why don't I throw a couple of things out because. This gives me a little bit of an opportunity to shout out a few of the things that are on my my list of things. Because Morgan mentioned record stores, I will of course recommend Amoeba Records.
Of course, which is
and
that even,
as well.
I mean, it's a different version now, right? It's not really.
It's moved. Okay. It's still Amoeba. It's just moved to a different location. So it's still right there in Hollywood. You know, big, incredible record store. Another one of the, you know, if you're looking for things to watch right now, the Amoeba has a show on their YouTube channel called What's in My Bag, where artists come on and go through the store and pick out records and DVDs and all sorts of stuff. And then they talk about it for 10 or 15 minutes, all the selections they made and what they like about them. And I've done one. They've done comedians. Matt Berry did one. And then all sorts of bands have done them. Recently, that band Mama did one. Always did one. Tennis did one recently. There's been a bunch that are terrific. Absolutely worth watching. The What's in My Bag series from Amoeba Records. And I will also throw out Merge Records, the record company that Superchunk started, Mac and Laura from Superchunk, and they put out the new Pornographers and Destroyer and all sorts of great bands. They also have now a YouTube show where people go through their library and pull records that are meaningful and talk about them. And that's pretty great as well. So I'll throw those things out.
I also love how they do that for the Criterion Closet too. It's great when people can go
in. That's a great one. And there's in that respect, Paul, there is a French video store called Konbini. I don't know, K-O-N-B-I-N-I. They have a YouTube channel where they do similar to the Criterion, like closet video.
Yeah.
It'll be like Wes Anderson walking through this, one of the last video stores left in Paris. And he picks out for 40 minutes, he picks out, you know, 24 movies and talks about them. It's fantastic.
I love that. All right. Well, speaking of movies, I'm going to hit 2 good movie spots for a long weekend in L.A., depending on when you're here. One is if you're here, you know, even all the way through October, Cinespia is amazing. It's an outdoor movie experience in a cemetery. It's a big fucking fun night out. People get dressed up. They picnic and you're in a cemetery watching great movies and people really go all out to be there. And if that's
but you also don't have to.
No.
You can also just go. You don't have to dress up. If you want to just go and watch whatever movie they're showing, you can do that. It's a blast.
And they normally have like special guests. It's fun things. The other thing, if that's too much, is check out Vidiots, which is a video store, a not-for-profit video store, the last video store in LA, ultimately, that has a collection of VHSs and DVDs that you'll never find anywhere, and a big, beautiful, beautiful new theater that is playing so many great movies, it's hard to keep up. I actually was talking to them the other day. I was like, I think I'm going to do an Elaine May thing with them where like every first Monday of month, it's going to be like an Elaine May movie. So like for 4 months, do a little
Mikey
thing like that.
Mikey and Nikki.
Mikey and Nikki.
A New Leaf.
New Leaf. Heartbreak
Ishtar.
Kid. Ishtar. Do them all. I think that's
it. There's five. What is there? Five of them?
Four or five. Yeah, that's it.
You should, but if you do that, you should also link all of the Blank Check episodes that they did about all those movies.
I just live that. It's so great. So good.
I'll throw out a couple of other, because the Morgan mentioned bookstores. I'll throw out, for comics and graphic novels and so forth, Secret Headquarters, which is now located in Atwater Village.
New location. It's great.
Yep. Skyline Books on,
is it Skyline or Skylight?
Skylight. I'm so sorry. Yep. You're right. Skylight Books on Vermont is a great independent bookstore that's worth checking out.
As well as the last bookstore downtown, giant, crazy old school. Like, it's in downtown LA. It's just a multi-level space, just packed to the gills with books. It's just a cool spot to be in.
I'm trying to think of you mentioned comedy. So, of course, check out the Largo schedule. Check out the Elysian Theater in Frogtown.
Love
Dynasty
that.
Typewriter in, I think, is it in Koreatown? Where's Dynasty?
Yeah, Koreatown. That makes sense. I'll give out those sushi places, too. The place I really love, and I couldn't remember the exact name of it, Go's Mart. Go's Mart is in a strip mall in Canoga Park, and it's a little far to get to, but it truly is the best sushi I've ever had. There's no physical menu there, okay? And you just go and get what they're going to give you. And there's a new place in Atwater Village that June just went to called Morihiro. Morihiro. That's apparently fantastic, but that's a little bit more of a upscale, a full Japanese dining experience. Like, Go's Mart is like sushi.
Great.
Extreme. Love it.
Okay.
So good.
Ooh, that sounds awesome. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other, there's a million music venues. I tend to go to the smaller ones, like shows that are playing at like Zebulon or, you know, some
What's
more.
What's that place that we saw, Mannequin Pussy? Because that place is great too. Or maybe, is
Where
it
did we
the
go
ballroom?
To see Mannequin
is
Pussy?
It like,
Oh, Terragram. It was the Terragram.
Yes,
that's
I
a
like
great
Terragram.
Room.
Great.
That's a great. Room. That's a beautiful room. Sounds great. Terragram, Zebulon. I'm trying to think. There's a website. There's a thing. I think it's called Oh My Rockness. Website, and you can select LA. They do it for a couple of different cities, and it aggregates all the concerts that are happening in that town, including, like, you know, How Did This Get Made at Largo will be listed, but the rest of it is comedy. Anything that's a venue is on this. It's aggregated onto this one website, so it's pretty good. You know,
I like that. Also, if you're in town on a weekend, long weekend, we're talking about the Smorgasburg, which is in downtown LA. Just it's a vendor specific, awesome. You know, food, everything. It's great. It's just a fun way to hang out in downtown LA. You get a little taste
Absolutely.
Of a lot of different places.
And then depending on what weekend of the month you're here, if it happens to fall on the weekend when the Rose Bowl flea market is happening out at the Rose Bowl on a Sunday, you're not going to get a better Sunday afternoon than getting a coffee and wandering around a gigantic flea market for hours.
I mean, that's wonderful. That's such a good. And I'm going to, say this again, as someone who's been really enjoying this, if you're here during the soccer season, going to see the women's soccer league out here, it's amazing. That stadium is fantastic. It's LAFC is the male version, and Angel City is the women's soccer team. And I've been to both. I love them both.
Oh,
I have
wow.
to say,
I've never, I haven't been.
Oh, Angel City games are
I'll go,
the
so
most.
If you're going sometime,
okay.
I'll go.
Oh, you will love it. It's really, really fun. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Messi was just in town here.
Oh, cool.
And it was, and he just played this weekend. But Angel City, they play in this stadium here. The stadium is just beautiful. It's just like,
Ooh,
just outside in LA, right by the museums and stuff like that.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah, I love it. I'm trying to think of anything
else. I don't know if this is a spoiler, but we have Messi on next week's episode of the show, right?
Yeah, he's going to be talking about, it's so weird. He just really want to talk about the new Saw movie. Where it's like, we don't really do new movies, but he's like, I want just. He's really held his spot. He called up.
Messi is a huge How Did This Get Made fan.
Oh my God! My kids
that whenever he scores a goal, he screams "Geostorm."
Yes, and that.
By the way, if you are a professional athlete,
yes.
and you listen to this podcast, get in touch. Get into it. We need to know what you're up to. And when you score a goal or get a home run in your sport, we need you to start shouting, "How did this get made?" catchphrases.
I'm down with that. I mean, you know, it
people
was
are screaming "Baba Booey" at golf.
But I don't
games.
Want that. I don't want people to.
No, I don't want it
you to be in the crowd.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I want it to be the person themselves.
Yes, exactly. Like when the U.S. Open's on, like the when they win, different players have like a little thing that they do.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, that'd be perfect. You know, so you have a whole year to come up with the next thing you could want.
Can you
do
imagine if you are an athlete and you're like and every time you score or do whatever is impactful in your sport and you just started screaming Geostorm big, loud and long. And then the audience, the live stadium started doing it as well. Come on. Or if you got a whole stadium of 35,000 people to just start screaming, "Fuck the moon, fuck the moon."
Fuck the moon would be the best thing to be yelling out loud. I love that pin. We made that pin. Okay. Jason, I feel like, you know, we gave her a bunch of great things to do in LA.
I think so. I think those are some pretty good recommendations, especially if you are, those are all like local.
Yes.
Those are, that's not like, oh, come and see the Hollywood sign.
So there's a lot to do, but I hope this gave you a good enough start.
Can I just shout out a few things if
Please.
You don't mind, Paul?
Yeah.
One of the last times we talked about this, we were talking about, you had asked me specifically, I think, how do you find new music or about finding new music or so forth. And we were talking about stuff and I mentioned how much record stores were so integral and impactful to me for finding new music and getting turned on to new stuff. And specifically, I mentioned Aquarius Records in San Francisco, iconic record store, RIP. And I asked when the documentary called It Came From Aquarius is coming out. I got an answer and the producers sent me
what?
A link to watch the movie. So I have watched the documentary. It was incredible. It made me so deeply nostalgic and so so kind of melancholy for the end of this kind of you know, like I even wrote stuff down from watching it because there was an element to it which I was like, exactly what you and I were talking about, you know, is what the documentary is so much about. It's about creating community around music, around all of this excitement for discovery, not just, hey,
right.
here's the new Pornographers record, but hey, you just walked through the door. Do you want a record that is just Neil Hamburger making prank phone calls? Or do you want a 4-CD box set that is just shortwave radio broadcasts from the 50s? Like, how can I give you weirder stuff? Anyway, there's a couple of great quotes in it. One of the guys says, "It felt like a tourist attraction for weirdos." And I was like, yes, that's what it was like. And somebody else in it, it says, "It's a maniac store." And that to me, I was like, that's exciting. When you walk in someplace and you know, an amoeba gets at this, it's just much bigger. What's in there is not just the records you know about, but a tremendous amount of stuff you have no idea and it's just waiting for you to discover it.
Well, the way that I always experience amoeba, it was something that was so interesting. I was in San Francisco. I'd never been before. It was like my first kind of solo trip alone. I was walking around. I heard amoeba was great. I went there and I found these VHS tapes of like celebrity bloopers. And they were not put out by anybody specific. And it was CDs and videotapes. It just seemed like they were almost homemade. And it was just a collection of the weirdest shit. And I was like, oh, my God, I have this. And I was so excited. It was like Orson Welles outtakes and, you know, and just like, you know, William Shatner, like kind of yelling at somebody. Like it felt like I found this kindred spirit. It's like where I found like. The unaired pilot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like stuff like that. Like it was like so fun.
Yeah, and that's what these stores used to be like. And the fact that they're gone, the kind of place that is lampooned in a way, or kind of, you know, made fun of a bit in High Fidelity, when, you know, John Cusack's like, I'm about to sell 5 copies of the Beta Band 3 EPs.
Yeah.
Just by playing one song. But there is an element of, like, even, like, the Aquarius Records, they talk, there's a big chunk of the documentary where they talk about the list. Because every 2 weeks, they would send out an email list of all little blurbed reviews of all this new music. And it was so well written and so compelling that you would buy stuff simply based on their recommendation.
That's all I want.
And there's all these people that are in the documentary being like, yeah, that's how I ended up with all these Circle records, which is, and I laughed so hard because I have all those Circle records as well, that it's like an incredible psychedelic Finnish rock band. I think they're from Finland. And the, Aquarius was just so obsessed with this band and were so good at talking about how obsessed they were that it got a whole generation of people who read their breakdowns obsessed with this Finnish rock band called Circle and all their ancillary shoot-off bands, offshoot bands. Great. Incredible stuff. Loved it.
That's what I want. I love that. I need
it
so
really
much.
It's really fun, but it makes me bummed because it's really hard to find that same kind of yes. curation, that same kind of recommendation engine. And that's what's a bummer. And that's
who do you
what
trust?
I really like.
And that's the whole yeah. thing. You don't know exactly. who you trust.
And I will say, just for shits and gigs, if you're interested, the other documentary that I will recommend is the one about the record store in New York called Other Music.
Oh, that's a great one.
That was another longstanding record store that I used to go to all the time that had a similar vibe as Aquarius in terms of recommending yes. very unique and interesting stuff. I'll also shout out a couple of other YouTube channels just because I'm trying to point people towards stuff that isn't struck.
Yes.
Our friend Rob Hubel recently was a guest host of Sandwiches of History.
Yes.
Which I was shocked because I just watched that show. And then here's Hubel doing one. I was delighted. Action Bronson's show, Fuck That's Delicious, is now just running new episodes on YouTube that are absolutely hilarious and fantastic. And then Scott, can you put in air horn sounds? Here we go. Okay, Mannequin Pussy, new music.
Oh, yeah.
The album is called, the song is called I Got Heaven. It's out now. It's fantastic. Please listen to the new Mannequin Pussy. I'll also throw out the band Zebra has an incredible album called Bird Hour. New music from the band Pile, fantastic. Career Woman, fantastic. New album from Alabaster de Plume, incredible. New music from Fievel is Glock, the French band, great. And a new album from Jamie Branch, jazz trumpet player who died recently. The album is inexplicably called Fly or Die Fly or Die Fly or Die, (parentheses) World War, (closed parentheses). I believe that's right.
I love that.
The album is incredible, beautiful, and it's a heartbreaking loss to the world of jazz and improvised music.
All right, this is great. Jason, a pleasure as always. We'll talk soon.
Yay.
Thank you, Jason. Remember, you can call us anytime with a question at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Now that we got Jonathan Livingston Siegel out of the way, let's talk about next week's movie. We are saying goodbye to the songs of Neil Diamond and hello to the screams of Lou Diamond Phillips. That's right. On How Did This Get Made, Diamonds Are Forever. And next week, we are watching the 1999 horror movie Bats, starring Lou Diamond Phillips and Dina Meyer. If you don't know anything about bats, you're going to love it. Basically, genetically mutated bats escape a government lab and terrorize a small Texas town. It is up to a bat expert and a local sheriff to stop them. And I'll let you decide who is who. Rotten Tomatoes gives this film an 18% score on the tomato meters. Scott Weinberg at efilmcritic.com writes, "Bats attacking bad actors sounds good to me." By the way, this movie is dope. Listen to the trailer for Bats.
Are you saying some kind of bat did this?
The bats that we're talking about, they're very special.
Evacuate the town immediately.
This isn't going to work. I know what these things are capable of.
Bats. Houston, we got a problem.
All right, that is it for the show. Remember, tickets are on sale now for How Did This Get Made's fall tour. Check us out. Go to hdtgm.com to find out where we are, what movies we're doing, and all that good stuff. You can also buy your tickets right there. And
While you're remembering stuff, remember to rate and review us. It helps. It really does help. Recommend us to our friends. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. It, guess what, helps. And we are always on social media doing stuff. A big thank you to our producers, Scott Sani and Molly Reynolds, our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia, and of course, Jess Cisneros, who makes our amazing social media videos. We will see you next week for Bats, and to quote the opening credits of Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I'd like to dedicate this entire Last Looks episode to the real Jonathan Livingston Seagull, who lives within all of us. Bye for now.
Lonely looking sky, lonely sky, lonely looking sky. And being lonely makes you wonder why.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.